Daniel chapter number 7, verse number 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. They said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, the fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And we'll stop there. You be seated. And let's pray. Father, tonight as we look at this Scripture, I pray, Father, you'd give us wisdom and understanding, that we'd understand what you're talking about. And Lord, even Daniel did not understand, and he was troubled, even concerning what he saw here. But I pray, God, tonight you'd give us wisdom and understanding. I believe in these days, Father, you've let us understand some things, and you've kept it sealed to these last days. And so I pray tonight, God, we'd see the application. And Lord, that we might tonight rightly divide the word of truth, not adding anything or taking anything away from it, but God just looking at it as it is. And Lord, taking the interpretation that you give, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray tonight. Amen. Now just reading that, all of a sudden you'd say, well, let's just close your Bibles and go to the house. But there's a lot in this tonight. And we want to notice some things. Now, I've covered a little bit out of each chapter thus far, chapters 1 through 6. I moved from chapter 4, 5, and 6 and come on over to chapter 7. And there's some other things that we could say out of the first 6 chapters, but I believe we've said enough to get it going. Now, it may look like tonight some of the things don't come together, but as we go on into the book of Daniel, it's going to get clearer and clearer. I promise you that it will. And we'll understand some things about it. In chapter number 5, we find that in chapters 1 through 4, we find that Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler over Babylon. And then when we get to chapter 5, we find that Belshazzar, I pointed this out a few days ago, that Belshazzar was the king in chapter number 5. When we come to chapter number 6, we find that there's Darius. And in the last verse, verse number 28, it talks about Cyrus. And so there's 2 kings there. And Daniel lived through all those. And he is in the first year of Darius, or Cyrus, in another place. I think he lived the first year in that. But in chapter 7, now we're coming back to Belshazzar. So Daniel's moving back again. Chronologically, chapter 7 can be placed between chapters number 5 and chapters number 6, if you want to look at it chronologically. But that's not the way God placed it, so we're going to look at it just like God put it. But I'm saying, if you want to go back, it was during the reign of Belshazzar. Don't get that out of your mind that when we saw this. Now, there's 3 visions that I want to notice here. There's some more visions than that in Daniel. But the first vision we find in the book of Daniel is the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had when he dreamed a dream and could not get the answer that we've talked about. You remember that, don't you? It's found in chapter number 2. The second vision is found in chapter number 4, and it's the vision that Nebuchadnezzar had again about the tree vision. And he saw the tree. You remember how that the birds and everything landed in the tree, and Daniel come along and said, hey, you're that tree, you're that one, you're that king. And then it was, went down. But then We come to the third vision. The third vision is found in chapter 7 here. And this is a vision of Daniel. See in verse 1, in the first year. See in the first year of Belshazzar. So Nebuchadnezzar's dead. Belshazzar's now on the throne. There were a couple of three between Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar. But we find that Belshazzar still is of Babylon. Remember that. He's still over the kingdom of Babylon. And that's what he said in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Daniel had a dream. Now this is not Nebuchadnezzar's dream. This is not Belshazzar's dream. Amen. Of course, we also find that there was another vision in chapter number 5, and that was where that the handwriting was on the wall. Remember that? But now when we get in here, we find that Daniel has a vision. Daniel has a vision or a dream, whatever you want to call it, because it said he had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. He begins to write it down. Now, if you look at that, you'll say, well, I just don't understand that. But we're going to look at it tonight and hopefully it'll help you. Remember the first six chapters by way of introduction. The first six chapters of the book of Daniel deal historically. We would not know anything about what's going on if we not have the first six chapters. And we wouldn't know about Daniel and the three Hebrew children and about the kingdoms if we not have the first six chapters. It's also historically and practical, I told you, and also prophetical. But when we come to chapter 7, the remaining chapter 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, the last six chapters of the book of Daniel, is totally and almost 100% prophetic. It's all prophecy. And so now we're going to wade into some things that's going to kind of get deep and some looking at some things that's going to give us some maybe some concerns and thoughts, and we're going to be looking at that as we move along. Now, we want to compare two chapters, by the way, of getting started in this tonight. If we don't understand chapter 2, we won't understand chapter 7. And God's going to give us the declaration of it in just a little bit in the 7th chapter. But in chapter number 2, take your hand and go back in the Bible and kind of hold your place at Daniel chapter 2. Kind of hold your place between Daniel chapter 2. Squeeze the pages between your hands and hold it where you can get flip from chapter 2 to chapter 7. This is the only way I know to do this. And He's going to give it to us. And I want to show you, this is just a declaration and a continuation of what Nebuchadnezzar saw, but in a different manner. And I'm going to explain to you why there's two different visions that mean the same thing. And we'll look at that tonight. You'd say, well, why didn't God tell it one time and then not tell it again? And there's a reason for that. We're going to look at it. In Daniel chapter number 2, if you will, when we look at verse number 37. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 37, notice what happens. Now remember, and I'm going to go back and get a verse from it. This image head was of fine gold. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed in verse number 32. His breast and his arms of silver. His belly and his thighs of brass. His legs of iron. His feet, part of iron and part of clay. Now that's what he saw, remember that? And we've gone through that little image and talked about that before. But now, in verse number 37, here's the definition and the interpretation that Daniel is giving Nebuchadnezzar. He said, Thou, O king, which is Nebuchadnezzar, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom. He's given you power. And He's given you strength, and He's given you glory. And that's what He said, the kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath He given into thine hand, and hath made thee the ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And He goes on to tell us a little bit further that and in other places, he talks about this as the Babylonian kingdom. This is the one of the four kingdoms. Now, when we slide over to chapter 7, hold your place at chapter 2 because we're coming back. The first part of the vision that Daniel's given us is down here in verse number 4. He said in verse number 4, The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I write off everybody says that's America, you know, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. Amen. Sounds good. But it said, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now looking at that, let's just kind of picture that and and dramatize it maybe in our mind, would you? Just kind of look at it. First of all, it said the first was like a lion. It didn't say it was a lion, but it was like one. Looked like a lion, right? You got that picture. You know what a lion looks like. They're ferocious now. And it had eagle's wings. Now, have you ever seen a lion with wings? Now, we know tonight that this is not a fictitious character. It's not something that God just putting in there. And this is not Star Wars. Amen. And listen, and it's not, and this is symbolic. He's going to tell us what this is. But now picture it. It's a lion with wings. And then it said, I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. The wings were plucked. In other words, pulled off of it. And as that, then it said, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. You said, preacher, I'm so confused. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Now, let's look at the second thing. Go back to chapter number 2. You said, you're going to leave that hanging in there? I am right now, yes. Amen. I want you to understand this. And I've enjoyed studying it out down through the years and getting all this together. And I just wish and hope tonight that I can get it across as I feel it in my heart. In Daniel chapter number 2, go back with me. In verse number 39, and we'll find that. He said, after thee, in verse number 39, chapter 2, and after thee shall arise another kingdom. Now we do know that this is kingdoms. We have noticed from history that there's been four kingdoms on the earth. The Babylonian kingdom, and then we find this one, and after thee there shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass which shall bear rule over all the earth. And if we go get the interpretation, we find out that the gold was the Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonian kingdom. And then we find that the silver, which is less important, and we'll find that it's less valuable. In other words, it's a lesser. And so another kingdom comes along, and that kingdom is the Medo-Persian Empire, or Media and Persia. Those were the two countries that come together. We're going to understand them a little bit more tonight by the interpretation of the dream that Daniel had. And when we get into verse 39, he said there's going to be another and a third kingdom. And that third kingdom comes up and it's going to be like brass. And that brass is going to rule. And what that will be the Grecian Empire. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Hopefully, I'm going to turn you out as soon as I get as far as we can go time-wise. And I'm trying to take it easy. Is this slow enough for you? Amen. Are you catching it? All right. Maybe I'm not going to sound like a southerner tonight and try to get slow enough for you. Here we are. Go to chapter 7. Daniel saw the first beast. Secondly, in verse number 5, he sees the second beast and he begins to describe it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, is raised up on one side. And it had three ribs in its mouth. And that's what it said, three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. He said, now that's a strange looking character. Yes, it is. Bear raised up on one side with three ribs in its teeth. Amen. Now you said, preacher, I just don't understand that. Hold on, don't get so excited yet. Amen. Don't get discouraged. We're going back. Now the third image that he saw, the third beast, is verse number 6. And this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. Had four wings on its back. Can you picture that? It's like a leopard with four wings on its back. And it said the wings of a fowl. The beast had also what? Four heads. Now that's a strange looking character, and dominion was given to it. Can you see a leopard now with all its spots, four wings on its back and four heads? Four leopard heads. Have you got that now? What in the world's going on? Surely the Lord is trying to confuse us. No. Very plain. It's simple. We'll go on. Alright? Let's go back. That's the third one that come out. Now going back to Daniel chapter number 2, let's look at verse number 40. Chapter 2, verse number 40. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of the iron, the kingdom shall be what? Divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now, that's a whole lot said. We found out, and if you go back and study history, that is the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire has split and has divided. Now, the Roman Empire has not been completely done away with. It's just only been subdued. And one day, the Roman Empire will rise again. Amen. You mark her down. You study the book of Revelation, you look it over, you'll find it's going to come back. And we're going to study that a little bit. Now, go back to chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. In verse number 7, it said, and this is the last beast. Look at this. This is very important. And after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse or different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now here it is hard. It is hard to put a picture of what this actually looks like. You can picture in your mind a leopard. You can picture in your mind a bear. You can picture in your mind a lion. Can you not? But now here's a beast that's diverse from all the rest of them. It's first of all dreadful and terrible and strong. And it had great iron teeth. Can you imagine something with iron teeth? It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse or different from all the beasts that were before it. And then on top of it, it had 10 horns. Can you imagine something with 10 horns? Now you say, that's a scary looking monster. Sure is. Now slide over in the book of Daniel, please, and I want you to look at verse number 15. I'm going to slide ahead and then come back so that I can show you what's fixing to happen and what's taking place here. And if you didn't have these verses, you wouldn't know anything about it. In Daniel chapter number 7, in verse number 15, it said, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. He couldn't understand what it was. And then he said in verse number 16, I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of the things. Now God is going to give him the interpretation as far as he wants him to know. And in verse number 17, he's going to tell us what the beasts are. Here they are. These great beasts, which are four, are what? Are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. Now what are we seeing? We're seeing basically the same thing that Nebuchadnezzar saw. Now let me go back and just explain this to you, and we're going to look a little bit different. Nebuchadnezzar is a type of an unconverted man, a lost man. He's a type of the natural man. When he dreamed his dream, he dreamed the dream of gold and silver and brass and iron and clay. You see that? Which are the things of man, is it not? Man looks at the material things. He looks at the things that there are, and the things that you acquire, and the things that you want, and the things that you desire. And Nebuchadnezzar has given us a dream, and God has showed us that through Nebuchadnezzar. He's given us a dream from the natural standpoint or from man's view. Now we move over into chapter 7, we find now that Daniel's the one that's got the dream. Daniel is a type of a spiritual man. See? He's a man that's been walking with God. He's a man that knows God. He's a man like is representing the saved man. So he looks at the same world situation, not from the eyes of man, but from the eyes of God. Though Nebuchadnezzar's looked at it from what man can acquire and the pride and the prestige that you have in having kingdoms. But now God is showing Daniel what the ferocity or what the terribleness of and the destruction of these kingdoms are going to play on the part of the earth. You see what he's talking about? So he's moving it around. They're not beasts to God. I mean, they're not metals to God. They're beasts. And these kingdoms on the earth, which is the rule of the Gentiles, they are terrible. And we've lived through some terrible days. The Jews have lived through some extraordinary, terrible days under the hands of the Gentiles since they've gone into captivity. Look at Hitler and all the... Look at the Jews that were destroyed in the Holocaust. You got that? Look at what the Jews have gone through time and time again. The Gentiles sitting on the scene, we're looking at that. But now let me tell you, the Jews are looking at it of what they've gone through. And it's a different story. Now we look at it not only as God sees it and the beast. These are beasts. These things are beasts. Now as we go to look at this, let's break it down just a little bit and go a little bit further. And I hope tonight that we can understand that. In chapter number 2, we'll find that the gold is Babylon and the image is Nebuchadnezzar saw. And we'll find that he's doing it as man sees it. And we'll find out tonight that this is pointing out the Babylonian empire. And you'll find that, and it said he was what? Fine gold. In other words, he's the best there was when it started off. And each kingdom has been dropping down since. In chapter number 2, we find that the breast and the arms are silver, which is a type of the Medo-Persian empire. And we'll see that. And then over in chapter number 7, verse 5, it's the bear. Now we come over into chapter number 7, in verse number 4, we find the lion. What's the symbolic of the lion? Now just think about it. The lion, the symbol of it is strength and might. You got that? Strength and might. It's a strong. It's supposed to be one of the strong. Isn't it? What did the king of the king of the zoo, king of the animals? Yeah, king of the jungle. It really is. And it's noted as that. It's symbolic of strength and might. Now the eagle with the eagle wings, what does the eagle represent? It's the strongest bird of the flying fowl, is it not? And it's the strength of it. So what he's saying is, hey, you've got the strength of a lion and the strength of the eagle. Now what does it mean when he said he's going to pluck, the feathers are plucked or the wings are plucked? Do you remember when Nebuchadnezzar walked out and said, look at my kingdom that I have built? And Daniel said, hey, God's going to cut you down for 7 years and you're going to eat grass like an oxen. That when he plucks those wings, you're not going to fly so high anymore. That's just showing the humility that God has brought to Nebuchadnezzar and brought him out. And now what he's going to do, he's not full of pride anymore. He's going to stand upon his feet as a man. And that's what God done. God humbled him to the end. He's standing up there. And now he's not a ferocious lion anymore. He's a man. And he's got the heart of a man because now he begins to glorify God in the last chapter or last parts of chapter number 4. Study it. And you'll see it. So God says that he was like a lion. And he's come through. And now what happened? And like an eagle's wings. And he's come through. That kingdom is gone. And it was held by Nebuchadnezzar. Go back in history. You'll find that Nebuchadnezzar was the king over Babylon. Any history book, go back that far. Go to the library if you don't have it. Look on the internet if you got it. And you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar was the king of the Babylonian Empire starting off with. He's the one who started it. He's got the record. I don't have to go to the library. I got the Bible. And the Bible said that in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, we go to the second one. The second one is like a bear. Now the bear, what's the symbolic of the bear? He also has strength. But the bear is cruel. Amen. The bear is cruel. Normally the bear will eat fruits and berries. But when it gets hungry and gets pushed, it'll eat flesh. And you don't want to rush a bear. It'll attack you with no mercy. Why do you think people run from bears? Getting your trash cans, you don't go out and run them off like you do a dog. Amen. You kind of give them reverence. Why? Because they attack and so forth. Now, in verse number 5, this bear is talking about and likening itself unto this Medo-Persian Empire. Medo-Persian Empire. That's the second world empire. That may be marked that way in some of your Bibles. But if you look at it in verse number 5, you'll see a like to a bear, and it raised itself up itself on one side. Now what does that mean? It means that there's two kingdoms there, Medo and Persian. If you'll study history, you'll find out that Persia, or the Persian part, was the strongest. So it was raised up. In other words, the Persian part was the stronger part of the Medo-Persian Empire. Well, what's the three ribs in its teeth? The bear. Alright, if you'll study your history, you'll find out that they conquered three other cities and three other countries and brought them into them. Amen. I did have a record of it. I could find that out for you if you want to. And you'll find out that they had captured those three cities. That's the three ribs that it had as a teeth. And God is prophesying through Daniel that that's going to take place. Remember now, Daniel ain't seen this yet. But now we can look back tonight and find history that it has taken place. It has happened. Amen. Study the Medo-Persian Empire. You'll find what I'm telling you. I guarantee you this ought to whet your appetite to where you'll go see if you can find them three cities. Maybe I'll put it that way. I can give them to you. I'd have to look at my notes, and I can tonight if you need to know, if you want to know before I leave. But I'm saying to you, go home and see if you can find them. You'll find out that them three ribs of that in the teeth of that bear is simply the three cities that they took over in the Medo-Persian Empire. But it fell. Look at verse number 6. This time it comes up as a leopard. We had the lion, we had the bear, and now we've got the leopard. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of the fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. This is the Grecian Empire. Do you know who was over the Grecian Empire? Amen. You ought to know this. Have anybody ever heard of Alexander the Great? Has anybody heard of him? Oh yeah, I didn't know much about him. He died when he was 28 years old. He is young. He said, what is that? Alexander the Great got off and cried a few times and said, I have no more worlds to conquer. He was a strong man. Died at 28. And the Greeks and the Grecian Empire, and of course we noticed also that the leopard's known for its swiftness, its speed, its mobility in warfare. A leopard can run fast, and it can pursue fast. And Alexander conquered. He did that. Study it. Some of you history buffs would know a little bit about Alexander the Great more than I would tonight. I'm not interested in going and studying him. I just know enough about him to make me, dangerous. And I'm needing to know more about my Bible to do that. But I know this is his empire when he carried on. And what happened is Alexander died. Now what is said down there in verse number 6? It was like a leopard which had upon its back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. What's it representing, the four heads? When Alexander the Great died, he had no children, no posterity. So four generals, study your history, four generals of Alexander divided the kingdom. Divided into four kingdoms. And so it was in that Grecian Empire. You have Egypt that come up out of it. You find Syria that come up out of it. You find Thrace that come up out of it. And Macedonia or Greece came up out of it. Now go back and study your history and find out. You'll find that's those four heads and those four wings. Amen. You get that? You said, we're talking about history. That's right. Go back and study that. I'm going to go on one more time in verse number 7. I hope time don't catch us here in a minute. But look at verse number 7. And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Now this is talking about the Roman Empire. You look at it. The Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire come up, and it's more terrible than the rest of them. And it's worked more havoc and trouble, and it will in the days ahead. Now, we know quite a bit about the Babylonian Empire. We know quite a bit about the Medo-Persian. At least we can find out if what we don't know. And we know and can know a good bit about the Grecian Empire. But when it comes to the Roman Empire, it's not all complete. We can find a lot about it. Who was in charge in the days of Christ when He was crucified on the cross? The Romans, were they not? That's who was in charge, the Romans. The Roman soldiers were at the foot of the cross. That's the ones that crucified him. Actually, in 70 A.D., Titus and Romans come through and destroyed Jerusalem. All the records, and I told you about that the other day. And now the Roman Empire is sitting, not dead, but it will revive. And if you'll study verses number 7 in chapter 7 and verse 8, you're going to find that something's going to take place. And you're going to look at these things and see it. There's going to be a revived Roman Empire. There will be a revived Roman Empire one day after a while. Still will happen. Look with me again in verse 8. We read this a while ago, and I want to look at it. This actually goes back to chapter 2. We find out in chapter number 2 that there was a hand. You remember the hand? That was cut out, the hand went and cut out a stone out of the mountains. We find the stone was cut out. I'll get it right in a minute. A stone was cut out of the mountain. Remember that? And what did the stone do? It destroyed that image in chapter 2. Now look at verse number 8. The Bible said in verse 8, I considered the horns, this is chapter 7, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Who is this little horn? I mark it down right now in your notes. Put it down because chapter 7, chapter 8, and especially when we get to chapter 9, is going to clear it up. This little horn is none other than the Antichrist. Mark it in your Bible. If you want to, in your notes, the little horn will be the Antichrist. And he said, this little horn before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now, we'll see tonight that this little horn is symbolic here of somebody that's going to be in charge. It's not going to be a little horn running around. Amen. Now, a horn... What is a horn representing? It has authority and it has power. Animals that have horns is for their protection. It's for their authority. It's for their power. That's where their strength is, right? So this represents kingdoms that has the authority and the power. And it talks about the 10 horns. And you'll find that's taking place and somebody's done... none said, and I read through all of them, and they are talking about the 10 federated nations and all that. And let me say this. I believe when we get down to chapter number 7 and verse number 8, it's yet future. What's going to take place? This is future. Everything may be laid in play. Everything may be out there right now, ready to be set up. I don't know that. But the rapture of the church has got to take place before this Roman Empire will be revived again, and before the little horn will be realized. Amen? I do not believe that the Antichrist will be revealed until his time. And his time will not be until the rapture of the church when the saints of God are called out of here. Let's move on a little bit and see this so we can get it understood in our mind and in our heart. Verse number 9. Now, we're going to come back to some of these. I've not left them. I'm just trying to get ahead to let you see a little bit. We'll go back and clarify some of this in some future lessons. Verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days. Who in the world would be the Ancient of Days? That'll be God Almighty. The Ancient of Days is God Almighty. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels are as burning fire. If you want a little bit of description of that, go to chapter number 1 of the book of Revelation and see the glorified Christ standing. Amen. And you'll see that. John saw and looked, and behold, he heard a voice behind him, looked, and this is who he saw. And he fell at his feet as a dead man in chapter number 1 of the book of Revelation. Then in verse number 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him. Can somebody tell me how many that is? And 10,000 times 10,000. Amen. Now, how many is 10,000 times 10,000? I'll tell you what that is. That's 100 million. But now, tell me how many 10,000, tell me how many thousand thousands. How many is that? I don't know. Amen. You can't figure it out. So that's a multitude of people. And he said they stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were open. Now in days ahead, I'm going to take the book of Revelation and we're going to open it up and we're going to show you that that's the crowd that's going to stand before God. And the books are going to be open. You got that? You see, I'm trying to my best to make the book of Daniel clearer to you as we go. And I hope it's getting more clear to you. I hope I ain't muddying the water tonight and make it more cloudy to you. I hope you're understanding it better than you did when we came in tonight. Hope so. If you don't understand it better, let me know tonight because I'll change my tactic. It will come a different angle at you. The verse number 11 said, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, which is the Antichrist. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And there's a place in the Scriptures in the book of Revelation that tells us about that. That's when the beast and the false prophet are going to be cast out. And we'll give you the Scriptures on that later in the book of Revelation. Verse 12, as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I take you the Scriptures in the Word of God where that the devil will be bound for a time and then he'll be loosed for a season. And I'll give you that. We'll tie that with it when we get there. So you can see tonight we're not going to be through with the chapter 7. But we'll move into chapter 7 and into chapter number 8 as we keep moving along. Verse 13, he says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Who in the world is the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. The book of Luke portrays Him as the Son of Man. The book of John portrays Him as the Son of God. But He's the Son of Man. That is a term that's given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Isn't that how He's coming? Amen. And came to where? The Ancient of Days. And they brought Him near before Him. And there was given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom. We're talking about a kingdom for the Lord Jesus and for the saints of God, that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now you're understanding this, that Daniel is seeing visions of these beasts that's come up out of the earth, and they're none other than just kingdoms that's taking place, some of them in our past and some yet future. And he's taken place. But he said there's coming a time when the Lord Himself is going to take over and He's going to be the one who rules and reigns. Amen. Don't that make it understandable now? And then I read to you verses 15 through 17. Let's slide down to verse 18. There's some things I'd like to point out here just a little bit and we're going to quit. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever and ever. Now he's talking about a kingdom of the Lord. Have we not been talking about that some in days past? He's talking about the kingdom when the days of the Gentiles are over and the Lord takes over. You see, this is prophetic. He's talking about the kingdoms of the earth and when the Lord begins to take His kingdom, which there will not be another kingdom after the kingdom of the Lord, right? Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. Hey, let me say this. The tribulation hour is going to be rough. It's going to be tough. The days of the tribulation on the Jews and those who do not receive the mark of the beast will be worse than any of the days of Hitler, Mussolini, Pharaoh. There'll never be anything any rougher and worse on the face of the earth than that at that particular time. You understand that? Amen. We thought the bad, you know, we sit back and say, well, it wouldn't happen on the face of the earth, all that bad. Listen, who would ever believe that Hitler would have killed 6 million Jews? That seems to me inhuman and unthinkable in a day which I'm living. But that's before my time. What makes you think that they won't do it again? Why, they'd never do that again. How many babies are they killing every day? Hey, we got a murderous society about us. And brother, human life is not important to many people anymore. Verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. There's somebody going to come on the scene, the little horn, is going to come on the scene that's more, he's going to be more, acceptable, he's going to be more, he's going to step out on the scene and everybody's going to like him. Amen. He's going to sound good, look good, going to even do good. They're going to think he is greater than a Superman and all him. Amen. You talk about a superhuman. We're going to have a superhuman step out on the stage of time. Thank God I'm going to be out of town. But the little horn, he's going to come out and he's going to make all the accusations and he's going to solve the problems. He'd pop his fingers and get it done. Amen. Remind me of some of our politicians today, don't you? Amen. Seem like they can get it done whether people like it or not. And this little horn will do it. He will. What he's going to do, he's going to now go back and get something that I skipped over a while ago. He's going to destroy three kings right up front. What's that mean? He's going to take over three countries, I guess. Amen. I would imagine that. And after he takes over them three, all the rest of them are going to say, hey, he's got the goods. We're not going to monkey with him. And so they're just going to fall in with him. You see what will happen? Wouldn't that happen today? Look at it. Just, you can find it. Verse 21. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints. Got that, didn't you? Who's he going to make war with? The saints. And prevailed against them. It looked like they're going to win, or going to lose. Until the Ancient of Days came. Thank God, there he is again. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. Did you know that there's more said about the fourth kingdom than there's been said about kingdom number one, kingdom number two, and kingdom number three? Go back to chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. There's more said about the fourth, the iron, and the iron and clay than there was about the gold, the silver, and the brass. Are you with me? All right. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse or different from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Verse 24, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are what? Ten kings. Now we know we've got ten countries that shall arise. Shall arise. Somebody said they've done risen. I hear people talking about the ten confederated kingdoms and all this is going on. Listen, I'm not putting no stock in that. It could very well be what's already out there. It could. But I know that this is going to take place after the rapture of the church. See, I don't know what nation is going to fall tomorrow, what one's going to rise up. What you've got figured today might not work in God's plan. God's got it all figured out. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. That's the little horn. See, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. Who's that going to be? The Antichrist. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until, notice this little phrase, until a time and times and the dividing of time. You said, what in the world is that? 3.5 years. You said, explain it. I will when I get to chapter 9. Amen. He's going to have control of this for 3.5 years. What is it? That's after the covenant's been broken in the first half of the 7-year tribulation, and he'll take, that's what that time and times and dividing the time is. That's time, times, and a half, that's 3.5 years. I'll explain it to you later. But the judgment shall see it, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions shall serve and obey him. Verse number 28, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for Daniel, notice this, his cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. He didn't know what to say. He's quiet. He kept it in, but it troubled him. Amen. It's not as to trouble us tonight. We look back at it. God's helped us in these latter days, and he sealed it up to the end. Amen. I hope I didn't confuse you. I hope maybe give you enough. Now go back and read chapter 7 two or three times and chapter 8 and chapter 9. Don't get much further than that right away. But read chapter 7, 8, and 9 two or three times before we get back and next study. All right? And it'll help you a little bit and maybe confuse you, but then we'll try to unconfuse you when we get there. Amen. Hopefully this will help you tonight. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we bow in your presence, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us the book and the truth. And Lord, we're glad that tonight we can find the substance of the Word of God, and you'll give us the Spirit of God to show us what it means. And we thank you, Lord, for the liberty of the Spirit, and Lord, for the teaching of the Spirit. Use us now and forgive us of our sins. And as we walk out of this building tonight, Lord, may we go on to stand for You, glorify You, and looking forward to the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man to come. Lord, we are thanking You tonight for the goodness of God and for the mercy of Calvary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Maybe you need the altar tonight for some reason.